Chapter 3. The girls and I headed back to the cottage, and once we arrived, an overwhelming feeling of relief washed over me. The familiarity of my home was comforting, and even though I had a lot to think about, I was glad for a moment of respite. It was like the weight of the world washed away from me once we stepped through the trees that led to our small home, and I was able to finally breathe once more. My sorceress companions and I would have a huge journey to take on soon enough, and a night at home would be a nice break from the traveling we'd done recently.
I forgot to ask while we were with the council.
Cass frowned as we all took seats round the fire.
But how are we going to get to Helheim? It does seem like a bad idea to try and go through a random portal. We don't know where this dungeon is, after all, only that it's at the lowest level.
I thought of that earlier, I said with a nod. We can't exactly use the Bifrost.
No, that won't be possible. But we don't know how much time we have to fulfill this prophecy either. I feel like we should go soon.
I agree, I said, and I looked down at Blah, who had retrieved a pumpkin from the garden and was now waist-deep in it. I did have an idea, though.
What's that?
Well, we found out Blah can teleport, and he can see through the portals, so I wonder if he can make them.
I hadn't thought of that.
The strawberry blonde breathed, and her eyes widened with surprise.
Neither had I, but it would seem that might be possible.
Blah, I said with a smile. What do you say, buddy? You up for trying to make a portal? The small blue dragon popped his head out of the pumpkin, looked at me with big blue eyes, and smiled wide. I'll take that as a yes.
I'd say so. Well, should we give it a try? How do we do that?
Asta's head tilted to the right as she thought.
He's only recently discovered his teleportation powers, and none of us know how to make a portal, so how do we teach him?
I didn't know how to fly either, I said with a shrug. But we managed.
This is true. There isn't exactly a place we can go for him to learn this, though.
Cass said with a frown.
Not like we did when we took the dragons to Asta's homeworld.
The only thing we can do is try, I said, and I looked at Blah. Are you ready? The little dragon nodded his head and hopped out of the pumpkin. Then he shook himself off, so pumpkin juice and pieces sprayed off him and stood in front of me. Okay. I want you to concentrate. Focus on how it felt to travel. Blah closed his eyes, and the small area where his eyebrows would have been wrinkled up. Now, think about the world we went to last, the world of the dwarves. You got it? Blah kept his eyes closed, but he nodded his agreement. Now, put those two feelings together, I said. Blah squeezed his eyes closed even tighter, but nothing appeared. The little dragon opened his blue eyes and looked around eagerly, but then frowned when he realized no portal had appeared. It's okay. Keep trying. Blah sighed, but he closed his eyes again and focused. I could feel the strain of his attempt. He was putting all of his effort into his task, and I had to admire his determination. There still wasn't a portal, but this time a small amount of wind began to swirl the dirt up into the air in front of him. Blah opened his eyes, though, and the wind dissipated, so the little dragon looked disappointed once again. Oh, you almost had it!
Really?
Asta agreed.
We saw it! Try again!
Cass smiled. The tiny dragon let out a little breath, and for a second nothing happened. But then a small portal appeared. It looked just like the portals we often came across in the countryside, except this one was incredibly small. It was just large enough that Blah would be able to fit through, but no one else. I wasn't quite sure how things worked when it came to portals, if we could possibly try and slip through one smaller than we were, but I didn't think that was possible, and it seemed dangerous to try.
Blah did it!
Cass said with a grin.
It's so small.
Asta cooed.
It's kind of cute.
Oh, that was great. I smiled at him. The little dragon smiled happily back at me and looked at the small portal he'd created. The thing dissipated within a few seconds, but it was still a good effort. Blah looked slightly saddened when his portal disappeared, but I simply patted him on the head and told him he did a good job. At least now we knew Blah was capable of making one. That alone was a step in the right direction. We didn't have a lot of time to try and get to Helheim, but if Blah continued to practice, then I was sure he would be able to get us there soon. After we practiced making the portal, the girls decided to do some research and practice the spell Prana had given them. And while they did that, I figured I should go ahead and get cleaned up. We hadn't been gone long, but I felt the desire to soak in the tub. So I went inside, lit the fire to warm the water, and turned the faucet on. Steaming water filled the large bathtub, and I stripped down to nothing and stepped in. The heat of the water felt good on my sore muscles, and I sunk into the tub with an audible sigh. Just then, I heard a small scratching sound, and I looked down to see Blah with his two front feet on the side of the tub. Hello? Can I help you? He nodded at the water and then smiled at me. I closed my eyes and shook my head, but I couldn't deny him. He was far too precious, and he worked just as hard as I did, so I figured he deserved a nice hot bath as well. Come on in, then, I smiled. Blah grinned before he flew up and then dove into the water near my feet. He came up a second later and leaned his back against the side of the tub, and then his forelegs hung over the edges as he mirrored my own posture. Ho, ho, ho. You think you're funny, do you? I chuckled. Blah nodded, sighed, and closed his eyes as he enjoyed the warm water. I wasn't sure if it was cute or strange I was sharing a bath with my dragon, but at the moment I didn't care. I simply wanted to relax, and that was all I was going to focus on. Soon the girls and I would have to leave for Helheim, and that was just the beginning of this quest. Helheim was the first stop out of what I anticipated to be many more ahead of us. The fulfilling of this prophecy could take months for all I knew, or possibly even years, and I shuddered to think it might take that long for this to come to fruition. The dragons in the slave trade needed us now, and I wanted to be there for them. I wanted to do whatever I could to make sure they didn't suffer any longer. Oh, for the moment, though, I leaned back further into the tub and allowed myself to bask in the warmth around me. But a sudden splash of water on my face made me open my eyes and wipe my face off. Blah! I said in a mock, stern voice, but the small dragon just squirted another stream of water out of his mouth at me, and I had to laugh. It was late afternoon when I got out of the bath, which meant it would be dinner time soon. Since neither of the girls really cooked, that fell to me, so I figured I would gather some things from the garden and get to work. Before I did anything else, I started a fire, so it would be nice and hot by the time I'd gathered all the vegetables and things. Once I had finished that, I thought I could probably catch a couple of fish rather quickly. So I grabbed my supplies and headed to the river, not far from my house. It didn't take long to nab a couple of fish, since that area was hardly ever fished from. After I had them ready to go, I got back to camp and gathered some carrots, cabbage, and peas from the garden, as well as a pumpkin, so I could make some pie, since it was Blah's favorite. I heated up the pan with some bacon fat, and then I laid the fish in it and covered them so they could cook.
The spell Prana gave us seems quite powerful,
Cass told me from across the fire. Oh, that's what we need, I said with a smile. Did you two try it out?
We went over it.
Asta nodded.
But there is a downside to it.
Oh, what's that? I frowned.
It only lasts for a few hours,
Cass said, and she bit her lip. I see, I muttered as I rubbed my chin. That was all the more reason for us to find a way to get to the dungeon quickly. If we could only be in Helheim for a few hours at a time, then we needed to make the most of our time there. We'd have to keep track of how long we were there for, so we could be sure to leave before the spell wore off. I didn't want anyone in our party to lose their joy. That would be devastating.
I'll make sure I set a timer on the paper like I did when we went into the castle.
Well, it would be helpful. I agreed.
It was nice of Prana to show us the spell.
Asta said with a smile. It was. I agreed. And if I was being honest, the beautiful blonde council member was my favorite of the three. Prana was the favorite of the dragons as well. At least Inga and Bla. Ufe liked Rinbar because the council member was tough-looking, and Ufe liked to feel tough as well. He hadn't picked up on flying quite as quickly as Bla and Inga had, but we'd found out his element was earth, so he was a bit more rugged than his twin anyways. While dinner was cooking, I went into our small cottage and got 3 cups of mead for us, and I took a long pull off mine as I walked the other two over to the fire. The sweet drink filled my belly with warmth, and I was once again happy to be home. I handed the girls their mead and then sat back down at the fire and continued cooking dinner. I had the pie already made, and it was set on the coals of the fire, off to the side, so it would bake properly. The fish and vegetables were in a pan on the flames, but they smelled like they were just about done.
Thank you,
Asta said with a smile. Of course, I replied as I took my seat again. The sun had gone down at that point, and I looked across the fire at the two women. Asta had Inga in her lap, and she petted the little red dragon absent-mindedly while she took a sip from her mug. The elf girl's long white hair was down around her shoulders, and it fell to her waist. I liked it when the white locks were styled and braided, but something about it being completely down and free was sexy as hell. Her yellow eyes locked with mine, and I couldn't help the smile that came over my face. Her pale skin shone with an orange hue from the fire, and she looked gorgeous in her yellow tunic that matched her eyes. Cass sat next to the elf girl on the bench, and the strawberry blonde's hair was down in its usual mane of curls that bounced with each small movement. Her violet eyes were focused on the book in her lap, and she brought a glass of mead up to her plump red lips without taking her eyes away from the page. I glanced around, and found Bla and Ufe at my feet. Bla was on my right and Ufe on my left. Usually Bla and Inga slept next to each other, but we hadn't had dinner yet, so I wasn't surprised to see Bla was sitting near me, just waiting for it to be finished. I knew he could smell the pumpkin pie I'd made, and while the pie was his ultimate favorite, fish was a close second. The little dragon would definitely be pleased with his meal tonight. I reached down on either side of me and stroked the small dragon's scales. Ufe leaned his head into my hand, smiled, and then leaned back down while Bla rolled over onto his belly so I would rub it instead of his head. The two dragons were complete opposites, and not just in behavior. Bla was a different kind of dragon than the twins were. The little blue creature had a long, narrow body and 2 horns on the top of his head, and his attributes were more lizard-like than that of a stereotypical dragon. The twins were just the opposite. They were the most stereotypical dragons ever. Both of them had large bodies with long tails and necks, and their little wings protruded out from their backs and appeared almost too small to carry their large torsos. I figured their wings would get larger as they grew, so one day they would look like the dragons from Asta's homeworld. They appeared to be the same species, at least, and most of the literature the girls and I had found in the castle depicted dragons that looked like them. I was curious as to what species of dragon Bla was. He didn't look like any of the illustrations I'd seen, and his egg had looked so much different than the ones the twins came out of. Blah's egg had been spotted, which was curious, because the other dragon eggs I'd seen didn't have any spots. I hadn't been able to find anything about his species while we were researching the first time, but maybe when we went back again I would be able to find something more useful to tell me about him. I took another sip of my mead and checked on dinner. It was finished, so I dished up plates for all of us. I handed the girls theirs, and I set the dragons' dishes on the ground for them to eat. Then the three of them lined up and dug into their food. Blah and Inga ate ravenously, and they didn't seem to care when their fish mixed with their vegetables. They took large bites, and bits of food sloshed out of their mouths as they ate. Ufe was much more careful. He ate his vegetables one by one, and took his time chewing each mouthful. He ate much more slowly than his twin, but something about that made sense to me. Ufe's powers were of Earth, and the Earth was never in a hurry. It took years, centuries even, to create a mountain or valley. Inga, on the other hand, had powers of air, and the wind slowed for no one. Air was uncontrollable, quick, and constantly on the move. So it made sense that two dragons would behave like their power signs. After I finished with my glass of mead, I retrieved another for myself and Asta. Kaas had fallen asleep, leaned over her book, and I didn't want to wake her up, so after I set my mead down by the fire, I picked up the sorceress and carried her into our small cottage, where I set her on the bed. I took the book from her, closed it, and set it on the floor next to her before I covered her with the blanket. The strawberry blonde sighed and rolled over onto her stomach, so I turned to head back outside. When I opened the door, though, I found the three little dragons sitting right outside, and Blah yawned lazily and smacked his lips together. They were all full from dinner, and they were clearly tired now. "Don't wake her," I whispered as I stepped aside to let them into the cottage, and the three of them immediately crawled onto the bed with Kaas. Blah and Inga curled up with each other next to Kaas's stomach, while Ufe snuggled up by her feet. I smiled at the sight of Kaas surrounded by the small dragons, and then I shook my head, stepped outside, and closed the door.
"They all look tired,"
Asta said as I took my seat by the fire. "Oh, they were. I let them into bed with Kaas."
"I'm sure she won't mind,"
the elf girl nodded.
"I bet they will keep her warm."
"Oh, hadn't thought about that, but I'm sure you're right." Asta took another sip of her mead, and then she smiled at me from across the fire and leaned forward. I could see her cleavage poking out of the top of her tunic as she leaned over, and I couldn't help but stare for a second before I locked eyes with her.
"It is a beautiful night,"
she said as she looked up at the stars. "It is," I smiled, but the only beautiful thing I could see was her sitting across from me.
"Wrath?"
Asta asked when she noticed me staring at her. "Come here. I want you near me." Asta blushed, but she stood up and made her way round the fire to come sit by me. Her presence near me was enough to make my heart rate accelerate, and the floral scent of her filled my nostrils. "You're beautiful," I whispered as I pushed a stray lock of white hair back behind her pointed ear.
"You flatter me,"
the elf girl breathed, and she looked down as her cheeks went red. I leaned in and kissed her softly on her pouty pink lips, and she kissed me back. Gently at first, but with growing fervor. Then I ran my fingers through her hair before my hands settled on the small of her back.
"Wrath,"
Asta panted as she pulled back for a second.
"I want you."
That admission caused my cock to stiffen with excitement, and I started to kiss down the elf girl's neck. "Like this?" I growled as I sucked on her pulse point.
"Yes."
Asta threw her head back and moaned as I nibbled my way down to her collarbone. I quickly grabbed onto a tunic and pulled it over her head to reveal her full, perky breasts. Her pink nipples were hard with excitement, and I reached out and pinched one in between my thumb and forefinger.
Oh, God!
Asta cried out, and she bit her bottom lip as she pushed her breasts toward me. I put my lips back to her neck, and I kissed down to her nipples and pulled one between my lips. Then I felt Asta snake her hands into my hair and grip it hard as she panted above me. While my mouth worked on her nipple, my hand worked its way down her belly to the top of her pants. Asta quivered under me with anticipation, and I pushed my hand slowly down into her pants until I could feel her sex. She was wet for me, and I slipped a finger inside of her easily.
Oh, Roth!
She groaned as she tightened a grip on my hair. I felt her spasm round me, and I slowly slid my finger out, only to push it back in further than before. Asta's slender body bucked with delight as I used my fingers to drive her to the edge, and desire burned like lava inside the pit of my belly. I continued to use my tongue to toy with her nipple, and it wasn't long before she gripped my hair even tighter as her body tensed in preparation for climax. A second later, her pussy spasmed round my fingers, and the feel of her pleasure made me want her even more.
Rath!
Asta squealed as she came all over my hand. Oh, that's it, I murmured as I allowed her to ride out her orgasm. Then I slid my fingers out of her and placed them into my mouth to suck them clean. They tasted floral and delicious with the wetness of her pussy, and I savored every last drop.
I must taste you now.
Asta breathed as she watched me suck on my fingers. Oh, you must now, huh? I smirked. The elf girl pulled my face to her own and placed her lips on mine. She sighed as she opened her mouth for me, and our tongues began to dance. I knew she could taste herself on me, and she seemed to enjoy that.
Fill me, Rath.
Asta whispered against my mouth.
I want to feel you inside of me.
I growled at her words, grabbed her by the waist, and lifted her up so I could yank her pants down. The elf girl stepped out of her pants, and then she reached down and undid the piece of leather that held mine up, so my erection sprung free. Asta licked her lips, and her yellow eyes locked onto mine as she took a step toward me to straddle me. Then she moaned as she perched herself above my cock. Her breasts were right in my face, and I reached up and cupped them gently with my hands, which caused her to arch back with pleasure. The elf girl finally pushed herself down on me and took the whole of my cock inside of her in one smooth motion. Her velvety walls pulsed around my shaft as I bottomed out inside of her, and my eyes rolled into the back of my head. Oh, fuck! I groaned at the feel of her. Oh, you're so tight!
I love the feel of you feeling me.
Asta growled as she started to grind on my cock. The elven woman gripped onto my shoulders as she moved her hips up and down to bounce on me. Her breasts bobbed in front of my face, and I held onto her waist and enjoyed the view and feel of her. Fuck. Oh, you're so sexy.
I want you to release inside of me.
She begged as she threw back her head and quickened her pace.
Fill me completely with your precious seed, Rath.
Yes, I growled. Then I gripped her waist hard and lifted her up and down on my cock until her body stiffened once more and she dug her nails into my shoulders.
I'm coming!
Her pussy gripped and spasmed on me as her needs were fulfilled. I wasn't done with her yet, though, and after she orgasmed, I flipped her over and put her on her hands and knees so I could take her from behind. I slid inside of her easily, and her pussy continued to clench me as she came even harder on my cock. My thighs were drenched in her wetness, and I savored the feel of it as I grabbed her ass and slammed into her.
Oh, Rath!
The white-haired elf woman screamed as her pussy gripped my cock once more. Her pleasure overtook her, and her knees collapsed under her, so she fell to the ground into a heap of satisfaction. and I landed on top of her and continued to thrust until I was ready to burst. Fuck, Asta! My cock tensed and pulsated as I filled her with my seed. My orgasm overtook me, and I pushed myself as deep inside of her as I could go. Her pussy continued to spasm around me as I filled her up, and we both groaned as our climaxes rose higher and higher together. Only once I was finished filling her up completely with my seed did I allow myself to take a breath, and I lowered my mouth so we could kiss passionately for a few moments.
Oh, that was wonderful.
Asta whispered breathlessly after we had kissed. I thought so too.
You don't think they heard us, do you?
She asked, and she raised her head to look over at the cottage. Oh, I don't, I smiled. Though I don't see how it would matter if they did.
I do not wish to wake Cass.
Asta frowned.
She studies so very hard for us.
She does. I agreed and kissed the top of Asta's head. The elf girl was sweet and soft-spoken, compared to her Valkyrie counterpart, and I loved her for being such a concerned member of the group. Her kindness was what initially drove me to ask her to stay with us, since I could tell she was a sweet soul the moment I saw her. She was also incredibly gorgeous, which was an added bonus. After our lovemaking session, I set out a blanket for the two of us, and Asta and I laid down for the evening. We didn't want to wake Kaz up by crawling into bed with her, and besides, it really was a beautiful night to sleep under the stars, especially with a beautiful woman in my arms. The next morning I woke to Blah's tongue on my cheek. I grimaced and lightly pushed the little dragon away, only to have him return a second later. Ah, okay, okay. I chuckled as I sat up. I'm awake.
Me too,
Asta said as she sat up next to me, and Inga and Ufe rolled off her.
Good job, little ones.
Cass laughed, and she tossed each of them a small piece of pumpkin. Oh, bribing the dragons now, are you?
To do my bidding, yes. Would anyone like some tea this morning?
Asta asked, oblivious to our joking with one another.
I'm craving a cup.
That would be excellent, I smiled.
I'll be right back,
Asta said as she stood up and headed toward the woods at the edge of our yard. It was there she would collect the herbs and things she needed to make tea. Asta might not have been able to cook very well, but she could make a very nice cup of tea, nicer than any cup I'd had before. I suspected it was something to do with her nature powers, but her tea tasted like the herbs came to life in the cup, and I was looking forward to having some after our passionate lovemaking session the night before. Before Asta could make it to the edge of the woods, the little dragons all rushed over to her. The elf girl turned to look at me and make sure it was all right if they went with her. So I nodded, and she continued on her way with the dragons right beside her.
You all could have come to bed last night,
Cass told me as she fed the fire. Oh, we didn't want to wake you.
I understand.
She nodded.
I slept well.
Are you all right? I asked, and my head cocked to the side.
Oh, yes.
She said with a dismissive wave of her hand.
I'm simply concerned about this quest.
I think we all are. I smiled softly at the beautiful Valkyrie girl. She was always the most concerned out of the group.
We'll be able to do it, though, right?
She pulled her plump bottom lip between her teeth and stared at me with worried violet eyes.
I just feel so bad for the dragons. Every time I think about them, I just...
She trailed off then, and I saw there were tears in her eyes. Of course, I said as I rushed to her side and wrapped her up in my arms. We're going to save them all.
Good.
Cass looked up and smiled at me sadly. The Valkyrie's concern was touching, and I knew it was genuine. She wasn't as bubbly of an individual as Asta was, but she was sincere and loving. It just took some time to see. I started breakfast while Asta gathered things for her tea, and by the time she got back, I had the water already heated for her, so she could simply drop the herbs and leaves inside. Once breakfast was over, I decided the girls and I would work with our new weapons, and Blah could practice his portal making. I didn't want to put him on the spot first thing, though, so I had the girls and I get our weapons and head to the field. Then Blah, Inga, and Ufe practiced various fighting moves while the girls and I worked on our own. Asta practiced casting over her weapon to change it while it was moving, and she was getting good at it. I watched her throw the weapon in the air as a sword, turn it into an axe while it was still above her, and catch it as two small daggers. She was an excellent student and a quick learner. Kaas spun around with her great sword while she practiced slicing and stabbing at an imaginary opponent. Her strawberry blonde curls whipped around with each motion, and she was like a moving work of art. While the girls worked with their own weapons, I practiced with mine. The one aspect I didn't have down yet was changing the length of the blade. I could do it with a mere thought, but remembering to cognitively think about it was something I had to work on. My ability to summon my weapon with dragon fire was incredible too, but my favorite thing about the blade was I was able to change the length. It seemed like a small thing compared to the sword's other capabilities, but that small action could really throw off an opponent, and I was all about working smarter, not harder. I'd never been the largest guy in my warband. In fact, I was one of the smallest when it came to body size. I was tall, but I wasn't large and wide the way some of the men were. That never stopped me from being an excellent fighter, though. The men loved to tease me about my small stature, but Ira, my warband leader, understood my techniques. She used a similar fighting style herself, and she was quite fun to watch. The red-haired Aesir woman was absolutely stunning, and she fostered a wonderful camaraderie between the members of our troop. I missed my warband sometimes, but I had other things going on which required my attention. Besides, Ira was never short over volunteers. Anybody would happily join her troop, and I had no doubt she'd replaced me for the time being. I knew I would always be welcomed back, but since warbands weren't obligatory, there was no reason for me to explain my absence. Besides, I was getting enough fighting at the moment for 3 warbands. We all practiced our various techniques for about an hour, and then I had everyone settled down in the grass. "Good job today," I told my small team. "Now, if Blar is up for it, I'd like to try some more portal training." The little blue dragon jumped up and took a fighting stance before he let out a little huff and nodded.
"I think that's a yes."
"I'd say so. All right, Blah. Remember what we did yesterday?" The little dragon nodded. "Let's start there," I suggested. Blah nodded and closed his eyes, and a few seconds later a portal appeared in front of him. It was the same hazy, spiraling air that the portals in the countryside were, but it was still quite small. There was no way the girls or I would be able to fit through it. It was just big enough for Blah, but I didn't want to discourage him. "Good job," I smiled at the little dragon. Blah opened his eyes, but then immediately frowned when he saw the size of the portal. He closed his eyes again, but this time he squeezed them shut, as if he were concentrating with all of his might. I could feel his effort, but the portal didn't change in size, and he opened his eyes, only to be disappointed once more.
"You're doing great, Blah,"
Asta said with a sympathetic smile. Blah stomped his little front feet and shook his head. "She's right. You're trying your best. That's all we can ask for."
"I have an idea,"
Kaas said with a grin. What is it?"
"I think it might help him if he could see a portal."
Yes, that's a good idea."
"Perhaps he won't need to try as hard then. I know it is always easier for me to conjure rain if there is a storm nearby. I think Blah could do the same and draw some of the energy from the portal."
"Well, looks like we're going on a little adventure," I smiled.
"I'll find the closest portal."
Kaas grinned and reached into a satchel to pull out her enchanted map. Once she found the portal, I grabbed us some apples from the tree, and we took off toward the countryside. It was only mid-morning by then, and the sun shone brightly in the sky. It was about a couple miles' walk to the portal, and Blah and Inger were clearly irritated that they had to remain on the ground, but... well, I couldn't exactly explain a flying dog. The two of them ran ahead, and occasionally I caught them gliding just above the ground, so I had to chastise them. Ufe, on the other hand, walked right beside me, and was curiously taking in our surroundings as we walked. It didn't take long for us to reach the portal, and once we did, we all stood in front of it and looked at it for a moment. We were at the far end of the countryside, and to my right I could look out and see the water that surrounded Asgard. We had passed a couple about a mile back, but I hadn't seen anyone nearby, so I figured it was safe. All right, Blah, where does it go?
Jotunheim?
Asta asked, but Blah shook his head.
Alfheim.
Gas gasped, and once again Blah shook his head. What about Vanaheim? I asked, and this time Blah nodded. The girls and I each took a step back at the confirmation that it was Vanaheim we were looking into. The last time we'd gone there, the girls had wound up naked, and I'd been lying on the ground, feeling the grass for hours while the dragons filled up on berries and fruits. Blah had woken me up just in time for us to jump back through the portal before it closed, but that wasn't an experience I wished to repeat. Okay, so it leads to Vanaheim, then. Do you think you can make a portal to Vanaheim? Blah nodded, but Asta held her finger up and bit her lip as if she wanted to say something. Asta, what is it?
I was wondering if I could try and coach Blah this time.
Of course. I smiled at the elf girl and stepped aside so she could move next to Blah. She had been the one to suggest we head to a portal, so I felt like she'd earned the right to try to coach him.
Thank you,
she said, and she kissed me on the cheek before she crouched down in front of Blah.
Okay, you see the portal, but can you feel it?
Blah closed his eyes for a second, and then he nodded.
Good. Feel its energy. Take as much time as you need. Then, when you're ready, try and duplicate that energy.
Asta took a step back, with a huge grin on her face, as she waited for Blah to make his move. The little dragon squeezed his eyes shut for a second, and then his brow slowly began to unfurrow, and a portal appeared. It was identical to the one we'd been staring at in every way, even down to its large size. Blah! I yelled happily as I picked up the little dragon and spun him around. You did it! Blah opened his eyes and looked over to see the portal, and then he promptly flapped his wings and did a celebratory circle above us all.
That was wonderful. Yes, very good work,
Asta said with a smile. It was indeed a great effort, and it got us one step closer to being able to go to Helheim and find Vinra. Blah could now duplicate portals, but that would still mean we had to wait for a portal to Helheim, and at that point we could simply use that portal instead. We needed a way for Blah to harness his powers so he could use them more efficiently and without having to strain himself so much. I could feel the amount of effort he put into creating the portal just now, and while it was impressive he'd been able to do it, I didn't want him to tire out too quickly. We would need his energy once we got to Helheim. Plus, it would be beneficial to be able to conjure a portal wherever we were. That way, once we had completed our task, we would be able to leave without having to wander back to the portal we'd come from. It would also come in handy if we happened to run into trouble and needed to leave quickly. I couldn't imagine Helheim was full of rainbows and sunshine. I suspected it was a far more sinister place, with monsters just waiting to attack around every corner. Cass, I said as I glanced at the strawberry blonde.
Yes?
She looked up from where she had been petting Blah. Do you think your father might know of a way to help Blah harness his abilities?
It's possible,
she answered as her eyebrows pinched together in thought.
My father has a wealth of both strange and useful knowledge. It's worth a try.
Well, let's head to his shop. I'd like to speak with him.
We should ask him about the prophecy as well. He seems very knowledgeable about dragons.
Well, we'll do that too. I nodded. Kaas was right. Her father knew a lot of strange things. Though whether they would be considered strange for a sorcerer or not was something I wasn't sure about. Ramir was ancient, and he'd put those years to good use with learning and practicing his craft.
Should we stop by the house and gather him some vegetables and fruit? It's not much out of the way.
Oh, I think that's a sweet idea. I smiled. Ramir did whatever he could to assist us, so bringing him some food was the least we could do. I had Blah practice duplicating the portal one more time, and then we all headed back toward home so we could gather some produce for Ramir. Asta picked some apples and peaches, while Kaas and I gathered vegetables from the garden, and once we had a large basketful, we started toward Ramir's place. Once again, the dragons were confined to the ground, but this time they didn't mind so much, since we had to go through town. There were always children ready and willing to pet them on the streets, and I thought how fitting it was the dragons were disguised as dogs, since they had such similar behaviors at times. Dragons were more human-like in the way they acted and thought, but their love for attention was all dog. I watched as two young children ran toward the little dragons. The mother chased after them, but I smiled at her when she saw me, and she waited for the kids to finish petting the dragons before they left. Even though the kids saw the dragons as dogs, I saw them for what they were, and it was amusing to watch the children get such joy from petting the scaly little things. We were nearly to Ramir's house, and it was starting to get dark when I rounded the corner and bumped into someone. I apologized and kept going, but then I heard the person speak to me.
Rath!
The female voice asked, and I turned to see Ira standing a few feet behind me, with her hands on her hip and her eyebrows raised.